Welcome to Business Grind Radio, a podcast for entrepreneurs, dreamers, and anyone who's passionate about business. My name's Ryan Lucia, the owner of Aaron Overhead Doors, and your host today.
To work with Ryan at Aaron Overhead Doors. And
you got to repeat that, bro. I think we had some...
My name is John Strong, also hosting with you on the show today, and I work at Aaron Overhead Doors with Ryan as well.
It's been a month and a week. We had to cancel last week because I had our door expo and some classes we had to take to get certified. Not that you have to have a certification, but it's nice and it helps separate us. So we're now certified to do commercial, roll-up, sectional, and residential doors.
It's been 2 months and a week for me since I've been on the show.
That's right.
Because 2 months ago, everything went haywire and I had to go help out on a job.
Yeah. So we definitely know that last month was our worst show because John wasn't on it and I was floundering around. John, did you get a chance to listen to it?
I chose not to subject myself to that.
I don't blame you. I didn't listen to that one either. It's the only one that I haven't listened to since we've done it. So apologize for the frustration or the lack of information on that show because... Really, we woke up that morning and fought hell, and then I just did everything I could to get here. Probably should have canceled last minute and rescheduled, but we pushed through.
But we knew things like that would happen. We told everybody we're also running a business while we do this podcast.
That's true. Couple updates on the company. I figure we'll run through that real quick like we normally do, and then we'll get into our topic today. But we really, in my opinion, as the owner, feel like we're done hiring for a while. And I feel like we're really staffed well for where we're at. Like we have two technicians doing repairs, two installers. Those are residential. We have a residential guy now or a commercial guy now. So we've got, five trucks out running around doing that. And now we have two salespeople. And when you're running a business like this, having two of something is way better and more convenient than having one of something because lots of things can happen wrong when you just have one person running around in a truck. A truck goes down or they get sick or whatever. They go on vacation. It just causes a lot of headache. So we also now have two people in the office. So
we finally hired an operations manager.
Yes. So I know that John is super excited. We might talk a little bit more about that. But we're now, I think we're stabilized as far as hiring. I think we can probably get through most of the year, if not all year, with the staff that we have now, unless we lose somebody. So for me, changing the mindset of the company at this point from at all cost, drive revenue, grow as fast as humanly possible, we are now starting to get to the point where we're experiencing some natural growth through repeat and referral. And we're actually, I'm trying to change the mindset of our company to more of a controlled growth, focusing on profits more than just do everything we can to drive revenue. And that's, we're in that transition, which is a little bit of a hard transition financially, because as the person who's in charge of the budget, that money, the more money you spend in the case that we were in, the more money we would make. And so trying to make that adjustment and slow things down to a degree is a little bit of an adjustment. But so far, we're slowly making that transition. Also trying to prepare financially for July, which is historically a really down month for our industry. So we're doing some saving there.
But I'm just thinking about it right now. The last few times we've been on the show, we've made mention of those are things that we want to be able to do. We have to hire these roles. We have to do this. We have to do that. We need to transition away from the at all cost startup towards more of a branding. So it's normally when we get on here, we talk about what all's going crazy. We kind of vent a little bit, but today it's good to be able to say that we're seeing some measurable progress towards goals we've had for the past quarter.
I definitely can tell you that I don't wake up in the middle of the night anymore with my mind going crazy and worried about tomorrow.
You don't.
Because I know I have other people doing that for me.
So, I can definitely tell you that once this operations manager gets up to speed, I'm going to stop waking up in the middle of the night with my mind going crazy, worried about tomorrow.
Hopefully we don't drive her crazy and she quit on us, because that would be a disaster.
Heather, don't listen to the podcast any further.
Yes, we'll leverage that for more money. All right, so
Today we're going to be discussing, since we've been talking and hinting at hiring, we've been talking about growing your business, how to get it off the ground. We've kind of talked a lot about just early startup phase topics. Today we're actually going to talk about, as your business grows, the decisions you make to bring in new employees, either both how to do that and the implications of the decisions you make. So we're going to be discussing how hiring employees helps you get towards your goals, and then looking at some lessons we've learned, kind of sharing a little bit of our philosophy, and then trying to share a little bit of maybe what the more mainstream philosophy on hiring is as well. So what we're going to talk about is when we think you should hire, what to hire, how to hire, and then just some general advice that we've picked up. So if you're thinking about starting a business, have started a business, it's growing, and you're kind of starting to see that it's time to expand, then these are some topics to think about when you look at who you want to bring into your company with you. So first off, we chatted about when to hire when we were planning the show out. And one of the things we talked about is that we're around a lot of small business owners, and there's a mixed bag of emotions about when to hire and when not to hire. And I know that you maybe look at things really differently as to when you hire new employees.
Well, when you say you, a lot of times I'm hiring because you're screaming at me that you need help. So it's not necessarily me, but yes, it's both of us. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of different philosophies when it comes to hiring people. And I think we addressed some of it last month when we talked about fear, or whatever episode that was, two or three, when we discussed fear of starting the company or growing it. A lot of fear comes in, especially with your first hire. And then as you grow, I think it becomes a little bit easier. But my philosophy is, I like to be so involved in my business and the numbers in my business that I can almost tell you where we're going to be at with, you know, next month, the month after that. And when you have the heartbeat of the company there, then you can make an advanced hire, in my opinion. Not to say that's the perfect formula for everybody, but for us, I know that, hey, listen, you know, we're seeing a need here that needs to be fulfilled. My strength is sales and marketing. That's where I need to focus my attention toward. So we had a need for someone who'd run operations. We had one person in the office doing everything, and it was a little bit too much for that one person to do all the financials, do all the warranties, do everything that she was doing. So we needed to hire somebody to manage that, and we did. And we probably hired her a few months earlier than I probably would like financially. But in the grand scheme of things, I think it'll free things up to where we can make up that money over the next few months while she's ramping up.
So essentially, we've kind of decided hire for where you're going to be, not where you're at.
That's right.
And give that employee the time to ramp up. So once you're where you will be, they're up to speed and you're getting your ROI off of the investment.
Yeah. And historically, when I've hired someone, really, we're going to break this down a little bit, but when I hire someone who's not directly influencing the revenue of the company, I historically have to take a pay cut personally. To help make up for that, especially if I hire early. So my wife is not a fan of hiring non-revenue generating employees. So that's my philosophy on when to hire. But there's other philosophies out there. And while we're trying to educate you guys, I think that it's good to kind of see different opinions. I worked at a corporate office where I was a department head, and I was accountable to somebody who made the decisions on when I could hire. And then he allowed me to do the interviews and kind of make the final decision on who to hire. And in his mindset, which he was a very intelligent person, mm-hmm. and I respect him greatly, but his decision was he would make prior decisions based on budgets that we would hire maybe one in April and one in, like, you know, October or something. And when you do that, he would try his best to stick to it. The challenge that I see that with that for a company that's growing is things are changing, and you really have to, I found that the expectations of the people in the department when you experience accelerated growth stresses them out, and mm-hmm. you put a lot of weight on them. And so the work environment tends to drop a little bit, like as far as the overall satisfaction.
Morale.
the morale. And so when we're inspecting and looking at the morale of the team, I think it's important to, for the company to make an investment maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months ahead of time, and be flexible in that way, even if it's a little bit tough financially. And even if you got to take a pay cut yourself as a business owner to make that happen, you're there for your team to make that happen. So
as a team member, I think it's nice to have an owner or a supervisor or somebody who is responsive to growth. Because if sales start to do better than expected, which is what we all want to happen in the first place, that puts a demand on other aspects of the company. And if you're so rigid in your goals and they're so concrete that you say, no, we're going to hire Q1 and we're going to hire Q3 and that's when we're going to hire and that's just it and that's the end of the discussion, then the rest of the team has to carry the increased weight while you're experiencing that success. And so Agreed. You're not exactly, in my opinion, you're not prepping your team to be excited about success. You're making them afraid of it.
Right. And a lot of it is, I also think, hearing your team out, right? So after 500 conversations with John, I know this hire probably came a lot longer out than what mm-hmm. he wanted, but realistically, there was nothing we could do. There was no way we could make this hire happen prior to now. And so I had her on the books to hire later. We went ahead and pulled the trigger, brought her on, and she's doing a fabulous job.
It's been good. And then the last thing about when to hire, I'd say, is when it's justified. So you can look at it on a time spectrum, but then there's also when you hire, at least in the circles that I've been in and the conversations I've had with people, it seems like a lot of people think hiring is the end-all, be-all solution for every problem. If we have a problem, hire another person.
And we've found that not to be the case.
That is not the case.
In a couple scenarios.
Bad hires cost more.
Yes, they do.
Than not hiring at all. So, you know, when we started talking about this operations manager position, you know, we had a wide variety of candidates available to us and a wide range of salaries that they would need to come on board.
Yes.
Some of which were unrealistic, some of which...
We discussed that a little bit too the last couple of shows where I was looking for volunteers of people who might be willing to come in with experience and run our operations for free. And
we had that conversation at Cracker Barrel. I remember us saying, let's be very realistic about what this job, what problems this job can fix, what value this job can bring, and what the amount of money we're about to invest in providing this position, what it won't fix as well. And I think to some extent, when you're in the thick of it and everybody's fighting and we're sending each other angry text messages things are not good and it's frustrating and we're all overwhelmed, it's easy to be like, we'll just hire a person to take care of it. But if you don't really weigh it out and say, what is a justifiable hire? Then you're throwing more money out the window. You're not fixing anything.
Right. And to reiterate, I think that evaluating your weaknesses, making sure that you have the capacity for these people to come in and make an impact on the team and in a great way, not mm-hmm. just like come in and fill a small hole, but this person needs to come in and be an owner, especially on a small team, mm-hmm. and make a huge impact. Otherwise, in a small company where you only have, you know, right now, I think we're at 10, including myself. So we have 9 people, if I'm not mistaken, which sounds crazy.
I could try to add it up. I think it's actually a couple more.
I think we're at 9 employees and we got 10, including me, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, long story short, if you have 2 or 3 people slacking off, you're in really bad shape. That's 30% of your team.
Yep.
You know, when you get in a bigger company and you have people slacking off a little bit, then it doesn't make as big of an impact. So really have to make the right hire. So that leads us into
what to hire
and who to hire,
and
right?
Who to hire, yeah.
So in the beginning, everyone needs to generate revenue, in my opinion.
Can I just say before we get too far in this, we have got an amazing amount of learned, of tangible experience in hiring some fantastically challenging people.
Yes.
Be selective in who you hire.
Yes. And we're going to walk through this, right? Because I think that as a small company, one of my mentors in the past told me that when you're starting a company, a hire can make or break your mm-hmm. success or whether or not you even make it, right? So if you hire the wrong people, your first 2 hires are the wrong people, you can sink the ship with that. And so to tell you that this is important, I'm going to overemphasize how important this is because you can't do it by yourself, and you got to learn how to delegate, and you've got to let the guys in the team run the company, and you support them as an owner, and you got to get the right people that can take ownership in their job and do it and be able to make decisions on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, nothing will move forward.
So starting out, you want everybody. We were chatting about this morning. You want everybody that you can to be generating revenue.
Yes.
It's all about making money.
Well, it's when you look at it as a startup, especially if you're self-funded, right? Like I use the term bootstrap. For those of you guys who don't know the term bootstrap, it just means that you're investing your own money back into the business. And we're very much a self-funded, bootstrapped company. And when you're doing that, anyone you hire really has to generate revenue to support their income.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you probably aren't making enough money to support them.
Sense.
And then it goes backwards, right? And then financially, you're in trouble.
So you either have people that are generating income or people who are so necessary that income can't be generated without them being directly present.
Right. Definitely so. So, and then I think once you get to a certain point, you can start looking in that direction. And we're going to get into a little bit of that later. But I definitely think that I hired one person who wasn't directly related to revenue, and that was Amanda, who ran our books and invoiced. And originally when I hired her, that was the thing, right? You just helped me with invoicing and collecting payment. And that was needed because that was bogging me down and our cash flow was getting sucked out and I didn't have time to follow up with people to collect. So it's very important to make sure that you don't damage your cash flow with collections and things like that. So I hired her for that. That freed me up to do more sales. Therefore, I was able to generate more revenue.
Exactly.
So I was able to justify that hire in the beginning. And I told her in the interview, there may be a day where I don't get to pay you and you're taking a risk. So
I remember our interview it was hilarious. Like, I really want you to work for us. I think you have what it takes. By the way, no guarantees on how much money you'll make. And if you don't do good, even though you're my cousin, I will fire you.
Well, hey, listen, if thanks. I set the expectations up front and you still come on board, you cannot be mad at me if you don't do what's expected.
I just love the fact that it's like, I really want you to work here, but by the way, I will fire you so fast. So I was like, thanks for dinner, Ryan. That was a really good meeting.
But listen, you're here and you're doing well. We talked about some of the stuff. I mean, you definitely have some frustrations. And
I haven't been fired.
I know you don't want to be a door guy for the rest of your life, but at the same time, you're young, making good money, got a lot of freedom, and sounds like you're having some fun 2-3 days a week.
Saturday, Sunday.
So you want to hire, and when you're talking about hiring also, you want to find people that fit your culture.
Yes.
And for me, this is probably one of the most important things other than hiring people who generate revenue or free you up to generate revenue. And the culture of the company is based on transparency, communication, and trust. And so if you hire somebody that you can talk to and you feel like they're being open and transparent with you about them and their life, like, I like to get to know people personally through the hiring process. And that's, to me, what it's all about. And once you get to know who they are, you can know how to motivate them, you know how to communicate with them. And then once you bring them into the team, you know how to introduce them. And it's really a plug and play type of thing once you get it set up properly.
So I used to work in and I think we've said this before, I used to work overseas, and our organization was comprised of people from, like, my office was around 30 different countries represented. And we always described culture as the collective set of assumptions that people have that help them solve problems faster. Like, things we agree are the criteria that we solve problems and overcome challenges with. And what I find is interesting is it's really easy to tell when you've hired the wrong person, because you're operating off of a completely different set of assumptions. Like, when you look at a problem, you want the whole team to be able to agree, like, oh yeah, that's how we should go about this. And there'd almost be an instinct to it. But when you look at a problem, you get this one guy coming out of left field who's throwing a monkey wrench in the spokes of the whole operation. That's a bad hire.
Yeah. So I think that on the same side of that, I view things very similar to what he's saying. And I also say that we like to hire people who may view things slightly different than us, but historically, organically, we all kind of have the same work ethic, the same appreciation for what we're doing, and the same ownership in our jobs.
Yeah.
And I think that that's extremely important. And I like the fact that everybody has slightly different views, but at the same time, we all view problems essentially the same.
I mean, there's root core issues that we're all going to agree about.
Right.
How we get there, how we accomplish it, the exact method is where we, or most of us, right. have a different opinion on it.
Yeah.
But
so how to hire. This for me, I think is, I've done things one way my whole life, and some people may agree that it's a good idea or a bad idea, but
am I allowed to say what I said
I don't care.
At breakfast?
Yeah, whatever. Everything's on the table here, bro.
Being hired by Ryan is like living in a Disney movie for about 20 minutes at the beginning of the movie. He took me and my wife out to dinner at this like nice, cool restaurant. We sat
Where
down.
Where did we go?
I went to Tannery Row in Buford.
Oh, yeah.
So we sit down and we're having a great time. We're talking.
That's a plug for Tannery Row. If you guys want to be a sponsor or host the show, give me a call.
So we sit down and we're talking. He has my wife out. He's buying us a meal and we're all hanging out and talking. And like he's describing this company. He's telling me that we install garage doors, but he's describing this company that's like, I mean, if you were to like have that mental picture, it is the Disney castle at the beginning of the movie.
You got sold.
I got sold, man. And when we left there, my wife was so funny. She was like, she said, she hadn't met you much. You're my cousin.
Right.
She hadn't met you much. She said, that guy's got that salesman smile. He's like, you got to watch him. Like, he just makes you want to be a part of his life.
So I do say probably one of the easiest things for me to sell in my entire life is a job.
Yeah.
And I take a lot of pride and passion into hiring people. And I understand that people don't want to be hired for what's going on now. They want to be hired for what's going on later. Mm-hmm. And they want to know that they're going to be part of what's going on later. And so I take the philosophy of like, I keep up, this may sound really corny, but I keep up with recruiting for college football. And, you know, I read articles about how these colleges take kids into the film room and they'll actually show them plays. And whatever position they're recruiting them for, they'll take like their best player that they've had there in like 15 years and they'll show film of that player. And they're like, we see you being like this guy, right? Like you're going to play that role for us. And the kids get like really excited, right? And so they start talking about it when they're being interviewed by reporters about how they've bought into the vision of how they're going to be used in the company and how they're going to help them go from not making the playoffs to winning the championship, even though the last 10 years they've been, you know, all the kids have been sold on a championship and you still haven't won one, but it's the vision. It's the you know, one of my strengths in the Strength Finder test was visionary or futuristic. I'm very much, you know, I stay in the now, but I can see the future and I try to keep that view and sell it.
And if you sell the dream, if you sell, this is where we're going. Like if you treat, I've learned this from you. If you treat hiring, not as, hey, come work for me, but I'm selling you the dream, you're going to do a better job at protecting your culture. Because people are coming right in, and before they even come in to work and they meet the rest of the team, the expectation has been set. And there's a mentality that's there. As I'm not just coming to 9 to 5. Right. And I think in a small business or a startup especially, you need people who love the dream.
Yeah.
So if it's garage doors, it has to be more than just garage doors.
No, I totally agree.
If it's e-commerce, it has to be more than just e-commerce.
Yep. And part of that too is when you're hiring revenue generating salespeople, who a lot of our people are full commission, when you sell the dream and you bring people in a little early, there's a little rough patch that I see happens between like the first and third month where these people don't make a ton of money and they're living on the dream those first few months until their paychecks really start to kick in. And so if you don't have the dream sold, those people never get to the sweet spot where I call it 90 days usually, which is where we probably should have hired them in the first place.
Yeah.
But we got them ramped up, taught them the Aaron Overhead Doors way, or you know, our way of doing business. And now they're hitting stride at the 90-day mark. And they're doing well.
After working 70-hour work weeks, my first 2 weeks with the company, I got handed a $50 check. And my wife looked at me like, what the heck are you doing? We just bought a house.
and that happens, right?
But the dream was alive.
Yeah, the dream was alive. You won, you bought into the dream. Now it's paying off.
Oh, no, it's great now.
You can pay your mortgage.
But that first check was demoralizing.
Yeah, definitely.
I like sat down in front of the TV. I turned it on. I was like, oh, I'm paying $8 a month for Netflix. I can't afford Netflix. Because I only paid $50.
So when you're hiring, you have to sell the dream. And that's how you get people bought into your vision. I think that it's important, regardless of your personality type, you got to have vision for your business. You got to have the ability to sell and don't oversell stuff, right? And that's where I think, like I told you earlier when we were having coffee discussing the show, I always like to sell the dream and then I pull it back. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, listen, like I told you, there's no guarantees. You're walking in, you're taking your risk. I want everything to be laid out on the table. And in doing so, I write out on job description, and I'll put some disclaimers on there that's basically like, hey, you may work 70 hours this week or next week and get a $50 paycheck. That's possible. And so when you evaluate that, you're selling the dream and then being totally transparent, I think that relieves you from any liability that—
Enlarge the fine print.
The fine print. But I make the fine print very bold.
You do.
So there's no fine print really here.
The other thing as well that that's really good is make it a point to meet multiple times.
Yes. And 50%, what I've found is 50% of the people will not come to the second interview. They'll come.
50%?
50%.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So if you, what I'll do is I'll spend about 30, 45 minutes on the phone with somebody. I'll do a little bit of casting vision. I'll ask them some questions. If I like them and we communicate well, I'll schedule a lunch with them 9 times out of 10 or a breakfast. And we sit down, we eat, we talk. And that's an environment where people tend to loosen up. And once they do, I find out way more about them than I probably should. And sometimes—
And you would in like a conference room sitting across the table.
Right. People are stiff. They're uncomfortable. And they're really going to take that approach of, I'm going to say what's the right thing to say. And so when we sit down and I'm very transparent and open and willing to talk about pretty much everything. So I think that allows them to do that when we're eating. And I just feel like interviews over lunch help you find out who they are. Mm-hmm. And after an hour, hour and a half of spending time with somebody, I feel like if you want to stay there and talk to them, then you probably have a good person if they're meeting all the needs of what you're looking for. And so that's how I decide whether or not I want to hire someone or not.
Yeah. So I had never been through or had seen somebody do an interview process the way you do it. It was always way more formal. So when every time that we had talked was at a restaurant or on the phone or just catching up, that was really unique for me. That was really strange for me, actually. Looking back on it now, I'm like, well, he got to see a lot more of me. And then you spent time with my wife as well. You said, I want your wife in on this as well. And I'm going to tell her the disclaimers. And that was you can't do that in an office. You can't do that in a boardroom. It just...
Well, I like spouses to be involved in interviews. Especially after the first conversation, maybe the second time we meet, I invite the spouse. And the reason I do that is because I need them bought in too. So when you walk home with your $50 check after working 70 hours, they are bought into the dream.
Yep.
And it's not something where this is going to be every week type of thing.
One of the other things you always say is that you like to make sure you meet people organically, like people that you come across just in life.
Yep. So I met a girl yesterday who works for State Farm. I went out and did a measure so we could give her a quote on a new door. And just in organic conversation, she started telling me, I asked her, I said, you know, what do you do? Because she's smiling and she's got that personality that I like. She's just super positive. And, you know, she's going through a hard time. It sounds like she's a single mother, 2 kids, and she's probably not doing great financially just based on our conversation. But she had the most positive attitude and positive outlook. And that's what I like, right? But it wasn't over the top. It was just really good. And she's like, oh, I'm a secretary for a State Farm location. And she went on for 5 minutes about how much she loved her job. She's like, oh, I'm, you know, filing stuff. And, you know, she just took a lot of pride in that. And so that's the type of thing that I, you know, and I told her point blank, I said, look, and those are the people hardest to pull away, but those are the people that you want.
Yeah.
So if they ever become underappreciated at their current job, I flipped her a card and I just said, hey, if they ever don't appreciate you the way you feel like you need to be appreciated, you give me a call.
When you meet somebody who has nothing to gain from gaining your approval and you just get to see them in their kind of natural element, you see a lot more of what you'll actually be dealing with after the hire.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
Servers, you know, I don't mind hiring people who work at restaurants, especially if they're excellent customer service. That's a good base. Those people normally are a little bit of a free bird, so it's hard to sit them behind a desk all day, but those are good hires too.
So yeah, so how, when, and what to hire, all kind of wrapped up there. But then there's just some general advice, some things that we've kind of developed as guidelines for us that we want to run over as well.
Yeah, I think especially in a startup environment, you need to hire on a trial basis. So I've got three different ways that I'll put an offer out. Very rarely will I put an offer out as a W-2 employee with no trial base. It has happened, but very rarely. What I will normally do is I'll either hire as a W-2 on a 90-day trial, or I'll hire as a 1099, tell them after 90 days, we'll bring you on as a W-2 if everything goes well.
Mm-hmm.
So setting expectations clearly is also important.
I love the way that conversation goes. We're going to hire you on a trial basis, and we'll drop you like you're hot. You don't perform.
Well, I mean, that's why this next point is super important, right? When you're in the interview, setting the expectations clearly, if you're confident in what you're able to accomplish, and I've communicated everything clearly, and I don't mind if you want to spend a day or two in our office or hanging out with me and riding around and you understand everything, I'm good with that. Like, I want to make sure it's the best opportunity for all of us. And so when I set expectations, I'm very blunt, very clear, and then I make them tell me what you can bring to the team and how you're going to work. Like, I want you to tell me that. And when you do, I'm going to remind you of that every single time. So we got a guy on our team who I brought in. And at the time that I brought him in, we were going through this period where I felt like our team was maybe stretched a little bit, and we were cutting corners, not necessarily on job sites, but just not doing everything the way we should in the system and everything, leaving notes, whatever, just the little things that we should be doing.
Yeah.
So I was on this kick about be a professional. I just drilled it into everybody's head.
Yep.
So when I interviewed this guy, I said, hey, when you come in, I'm going to use you as an example and everybody on the team is going to hate you because I'm going to point to you and I'm going to say, look, this guy is a professional. He does things the right way. He's always on time, this and that. Well, the other day he left his house without his tools and went to a job. Long pause. So my phone call to him
is,
hey.
That's not professional.
Listen, I can't use you as my example if you yourself aren't going to be the professional that I hired you to be. Now, I'm going to remind you of the conversation that we had during the interview, and you told me I'm a professional and I'm going to do things the right way. And I understand mistakes. I didn't get onto him too hard. First time that I've even been able to bring this up, and he's done a phenomenal job for us. Mm-hmm. Great hire for me, in my opinion. So I would just say, if I know that after a month or two, things start trickling to the top and we're in that range, don't make it a habit, right?
Yeah.
So this can't be something that continues. And you can't be a police officer if you leave the house without your badge and gun. You can't be a garage door guy if you leave the house without your tools.
And you can't let, you know, when you work closely with people, especially in a small business, your personal lives get mixed up together as much as your professional lives. You know, in a corporate environment, you're in the office, you're out of the office, and there's an amount of distance between you and your coworkers. But when you work in a company that's a little bit smaller, more close-knit, the stuff going on in your personal life has a way of jumping into the business a little bit. And one of the things that we were chatting about today was you can't let the growing personal relationship cloud good business decisions.
Because right.
If we got those clear expectations, I don't care if Susie's sick and grandma's this and things are, we're having a fight at home, blah, blah, blah. Like, these are the expectations. This is what you get paid to do.
Right.
And we're allowed to have a conversation and say, this is what you said you would do. Can you still deliver on that? Or and vice versa. This is what the company said that it would provide.
Yep.
And can we provide and make good on that?
Absolutely. If I sell something, that maybe if I were to oversell it, which I try not to, and we're unable to deliver, I mean, if they come to me and they say, hey, listen, you told me this, and I'm going to make it right. Or I'm going to say, listen, I thought we were going to be able to, and right now it doesn't look like we are. I understand if you need to find another employer.
And I mean, if you say that right when you're in the hiring phase, like, I might not be able to pay you, then you can't feel bad about saying, I can't pay you. Like, they're a human being with free will who made a choice to come to work for you.
For whatever reason, though, people get excited when you tell them that. There's like this adventure, right? Like,
I might not get paid.
I mean, it's weird, but I do see that. Like, people really like the idea of the adventure of...
People like danger.
People like danger. I mean, they get tired of wearing a suit and tie and going to work every day and having the paycheck deposited the same amount every 2 weeks. They come here, it is not going to be that way. And your life's going to change every week or every month. And the paychecks may fluctuate. But I mean, everybody...
Your schedule fluctuates.
Your schedule fluctuates. So I think the adventure and the excitement, even though everything's not always great, it's fun and people buy into that.
The other thing is always type up a clear offer letter and make sure that all the outcomes desired are measurably.
Yes.
They're all specified and there. And listed.
And I'm learning now that needs to be updated on a 6 months to year process because I haven't done that. And John and I have this ongoing conversation where it's like, hey, you kind of sold a door. You know, another guy sold a door for us. How does this work? And what does this look like? And I'm like, we'll get to that. Like, you know, and so I know that's not very professional on my end, but, you know, I always pay them out and we figure it out. And I know there's got to be a day where I sit down and make that happen and we're getting there. But there's, you know, there's some flexibility that employees have to have when working for a startup. And as an employer, you know, you got to prioritize issues. And as long as you're paying people a fair amount for that type of thing, then I think it's good.
The job description I started with is an unreasonable job description for where the company's at now.
Right.
In that it doesn't provide value the way it was written. It was good back then, but the thing is that the company's growing, so it's evolving, so is my role. And you can't, to some extent, you have to be proactive. Like a garden grows without somebody helping to tend to it, it starts looking ugly, like my front yard does at this very moment in time.
I thought you hired somebody for that.
I did. Just we're not quite done yet. And everything he got done last time is already a mess again. So
nice. All right. So don't be afraid to, I wouldn't necessarily call it a rehire, but restructure the company with employees and job descriptions. So as you're growing, sometimes you don't have the luxury of finding the best people for the best roles. Mm-hmm. Some people want a little bit more stability. We don't have benefits. There's a lot of reasons why those people may not come work here. But you find risk takers who are willing to jump on, who are great employees, but the position you hire them for, maybe they don't fill that role well. So the question I like to ask myself every 3 to 6 months is, would I hire this person for this role now, knowing what I know? And so I try to evaluate our people and our company that way. And if the answer is no, I start to make steps in communication with them that we need to start making adjustments. And so that is a role that I think is super important. We need to find, maybe you take them and move them somewhere else, or unfortunately, you might have to let those people go.
And then also, this is the biggest thing you said, is don't create a fail-up opportunity.
Oh, heck no.
You don't fail up.
No, you can't fail up. Because if people fail in your company and you give them a promotion for whatever reason, another department or whatever, or they don't do well and you give them a promotion, it leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Because everybody's thinking, how in the world did this person get where they're at and get a promotion when I'm doing twice the work they are?
Amen.
Can't have a fail up mentality.
Just makes your great employees bitter and angry.
That's right. So that's today's show. We're going to do our fortune cookies that are...
We've randomly brought up our fortune cookies online because the fortune cookies are, where are they at the moment?
They are at our co-working space under my desk because we have cookies and we have fortunes now.
So we've got great value classic chocolate chip cookies.
Walmart, if you want to be a sponsor of the show, we will gladly have you contact me.
And our fortunes were randomly generated online.
Yes. You go first. You well, actually,
I generated like four because I liked one of them better than I picked one. Let me see if I can find that I saved it. Yeah. People are naturally attracted to you. Yeah. That was the fortune I wanted.
That describes his personality.
We're not going to get into who's a narcissist at this table.
So you don't need strength to let go of something. What you really need is understanding. That was mine.
That was poetic, though.
I think that was poetic. I like that.
So that's our fortunes. Now we're going to eat our great value classic chocolate chip cookies.
Yes. And I've been craving chocolate chip cookies. I almost bought chocolate chip cookies from Starbucks before we came here. Starbucks, if you want to be a sponsor, give us a shout.
Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Have a great day.